welcome to my podcast. So, Google's Pixel A line has been an industry value darling for years. Their first A model, which began with the philosophy of giving you whatever the Pixel experience was in the moment for less, and at that time it was camera, was the Pixel 3a. Now, I had the Pixel 3a XL and had the most wonderful time with it. So, this year, the tradition continues with the newly released Pixel 8a. All of the core goodness of the Pixel 8 for $200 less than the Pixel 8's $699. So what is the $200 difference? Let's discuss. So the most obvious difference, the most obvious differences, are very superficial. The Pixel 8a has a plastic backplate versus the Gorilla Glass Victus backplate of the Pixel 8. The Pixel 8a has more rounded corners, but, you know, back to the backplate. Because of Apple and Corning and their lock on the market, they introduced this idea that the glass sandwich was the most premium way to have a smartphone, and the reason it's there is so that the charging coils can work through a charging transparent material, but plastic works just as well. People consider it less premium because I guess it scratches more easily, but I would much rather have plastic on the back of the phone, like a nice plastic. And in this case, the Pixel 8a has a nice plastic, it's textured, it feels good, than any glass, because if you drop the phone without a case, you have to have a case now because the phone is a glass sandwich, then it's not going to break on that backplate with plastic, and even with the best Gorilla Glass, it is probably going to break with glass. Man, oh, Apple and Corning, they got us good, and they made their money off of it, good for them, but also, So yeah, more rounded corners than the Pixel 8 and 8 Pro. Smaller camera port. There's a camera lozenge. It's part of the Pixel's design philosophy for the Tensor series of Pixels, that there's this camera bar that stretches across the back of the phone. It's an aluminum band stretching across the phone, and there's a little lozenge for the two back cameras in this case. And it's smaller on the 8a because the cameras are smaller. Well, the main sensor, the main camera, is like half the size. The ultra-wide camera it's a higher megapixel camera, but it's probably smaller too. I'm not sure about that. But because that main camera is so much larger, the camera lozenge on the regular Pixel 8 is larger. If I didn't mention it before, a lot of these changes are the same changes that the Pixel 7a had. The Pixel 8a is a lot, philosophically, it's a lot of what the Pixel 7a was, with the newest Tensor G3 processor and the new screen technology, and everything else is Pixel 7a. That's why they were able to keep the price the same, maybe. They probably should have gone cheaper. Anyway, so the main camera on the Pixel 8 is twice as big. The main camera on the Pixel 8 is a 50 megapixel sensor, even though it's twice as big, while the camera on the Pixel 8 is a 64 megapixel sensor, even though it's half the size. That means that they both bend a quad pixel. They bend to 1/4. So the Pixel 8 produces a 12 megapixel picture, and the Pixel 8a produces a 16 megapixel picture. It produces a bigger picture by default for that main sensor. But because the sensor is bigger on the Pixel 8, it will produce a better picture in a larger variety of situations where the lighting is funky and such. The Pixel 8 also has laser autofocus, where the Pixel 8a does not have laser autofocus, and that's going to make a difference in that ultimate image quality in more situations as well. The front cameras are also different pixel count / sizes, but I'm not sure if they actually are different sizes. That's an assumption on my part. They both do the secure Face ID thing, which is cool, but coincidentally, I am a Pixel 8 user, and I don't use that feature. I don't use a lot of features, actually. For video recording, there's a difference there, which is that for video recording, the Pixel 8a does not support 10-bit HDR 4K 30 frames per second recording, nor does it support actively switching from the main camera to the ultra-wide lens during 4K 60 frames per second. The Pixel 8a's camera does not have default support for 24 frames per second video recording, which is a super weird arbitrary omission. I'm not sure why they would not include that. It doesn't seem like something that there'd be any technical debt connected to that. Arbitrary. just so you can drive the price down. Something that's not arbitrary is the fact that the Pixel 8 has three microphones, one on the front, one on the back, one on the top, and the Pixel 8a only has two microphones, one on the top, one on the front, none on the back. So that may make a difference for your audio capture and video recording. Probably not a huge difference, though. Maybe it helps with noise cancellation when they do the technology that takes out background noise. Maybe. But it has that feature, so maybe not. Slightly different screens. This one is interesting to me, and I believe this was the same on the Pixel 7a as well. The Pixel 8a has a glass OLED panel, which means that it's glass on both sides, while the Pixel 8, regular Pixel 8, has a plastic OLED panel, which means that the substrate, the back layer of the OLED panel, is plastic. It's a plastic film. On the Pixel 8a, it's a glass plate. It means the screen is thicker. Also, the screen, as reported by some technology commentators, is a little lower in quality on the Pixel 8a. Off-axis color shifting is greater on the Pixel 8a, and just the vibrant range of colors, color reproduction, is better on the Pixel 8. I think that's probably something that you'll only notice if you're looking for it, but it is a thing. This also may contribute to the fact that the Pixel 8a has thicker bezels, which contributes to the fact that while the screen on the Pixel 8a is 6.1 inches versus the 6.2 inches on the Pixel 8, the Pixel 8a is actually a larger phone. It's a slightly, like only a little bit, like 0.2 ounces heavier phone as well. You know, sticking with the screens, the Pixel 8 has Gorilla Glass Victus on the screen, which is a 2020 Corning Gorilla Glass technology, while the Pixel 8a uses Gorilla Glass 3, which is a 2013 Gorilla Glass technology. It's how a lot of companies cheap out when they do this. I think some of them might use Gorilla Glass 5 as well, but the difference is that I believe that Gorilla Glass 3 is harder, so it'll scratch less easily, but it'll break way more easily than Gorilla Glass Victus. Like, way more. If you put a screen protector and a case on your phone, that's not something that you should have any consideration for. And I do that on every phone almost immediately. In fact, I think a glass screen protector is more important than the case for protecting you. But that's just me. Both devices do support the most modern chipset that Google has, which is the Tensor G3, their in-house chipset. A lot of controversy in the consumer space. Not the consumer space, consumers don't care, but there's a lot of controversy in the phone enthusiast space about Google's project of producing their own silicon because they're a couple generations behind performance-wise at this point. They made it for a couple reasons, and they may be smart, they may be not, but they wanted to have a chip that focused on their in-house custom neural processing unit, the Tensor unit, and so they built a chip around that. The thing is that they used Samsung's production to make their chip. Samsung is a major chip manufacturer, but TSMC is the other major chip manufacturer. That's who makes all of Apple's chips. TSMC's process is better. So even though the Tensor G3 is a 3-nanometer chip, it's not quite as good as what Qualcomm makes with their Snapdragon chips, what Apple makes with its A-whatever series of processors. But it works. I actually think it's pretty good, except for the 5G antennas, which are also Samsung designed. And as of this third generation of the chip, they work well, but they're not efficient at all. They make the chip hot all the time. I actually don't use 5G on my chips or on my Tensor phones. I always turn it off and just use 4G. Works like magic, like butter, but I should have the option to leave it on 5G all the time. And I could, but the efficiency goes down by like 10%. So I don't, because I'm all about that battery efficiency. Anyway, while both phones do have the Tensor G3, they're not packaged the same on the board that supports the processor. So the Pixel 8 and 8 Pro, and this was the same for the Pixel 7 and 7 Pro, use a more advanced style of packaging, which is how the chip connects to the board and how it's protected from the elements. So it can run marginally cooler at high performance than the way that the Pixel 8a's processor is packaged on its board. Linus Tech Tips speculated that the Pixel 8a is actually underclocked a little bit, allowing it to do like regular, not intensive tasks longer. And I don't think that's the case. I don't think there's a hard cap. I think it's that packaging difference. It's a soft cap to keep it from running too hot because of the packaging difference. But that's just speculation on my part. Neither one of us know for sure. Another difference is that the Pixel 8a only supports Wi-Fi 6E versus the Wi-Fi 7, which is supported on the Pixel 8. Neither one of those make a real-world difference unless you are in a situation that supports them. I almost care not at all. If I keep the phone for the 7 years that it is available, then it will make a difference then. Doesn't make a difference now. Man, I kind of blew through that list because there's only a couple more things. Charging is the other big difference. So the maximum wired charging speed for the the Pixel 8a is 18 watts per second versus 27 watts per second for the Pixel 8. Neither one of those are terribly fast in modern phone technology, but I believe that Google has kept that to be the case because they're trying to keep that battery healthy for the term of support, which is 7 years. You're still going to need a battery change sometime in there if you decide to try to keep these models for 7 years, but I think it's probably a decent trade-off. Only time will tell. The tech community does not like it at all. They hate it, in fact. But we'll see. For wireless charging, there's a difference there, too. The 8a supports 7.5 watts per second wireless charging, which is good enough for overnight charging, which is what you need, or good enough for trickle charging, which is what I do all day anyway. But hypothetically, or technically, the Pixel 8 supports 12 watts per second maximum wireless charging for a regular wireless charger, and then 18 watts for the proprietary Pixel stand on the Pixel 8. This little tangent has nothing to do with this, but for all my phones, I have purchased MagSafe cases, so I have MagSafe chargers everywhere. It's great. I thought it was stupid when it came out. I was wrong, Apple. I apologize. MagSafe is awesome. Also, the Pixel 8 supports a feature called wireless power share, where you can put something that charges wirelessly on the back of your phone. You can charge it from your phone, whether it's another phone. Probably not, because I think it's really slow, or like some earbuds or something. So it could be very useful under a given circumstance. This is something I tried to do on vacation a couple of years ago with my Pixel 6 to charge my girlfriend's iPhone overnight. And it wouldn't stay. Like, the charge would only last for make like 60 seconds and it would stop sharing power. I'm sure it works better now. I haven't had a chance to test it, but that is a feature that is available on the mainline Pixels that is lacking on the 8a and was on the 7a as well. So that is my list of differences, and I'm sure there are more, but to be clear, this list of differences is, it's nothing to me. I don't care about most of these differences. They are non-factor as individual features, but yes, I can see how they could add up to $200 worth of difference. I respect that. I respect that this line exists, and before 2024, this was the best domestic value you could get in the upper mid-range. There almost was nothing else, but in 2024, other phone manufacturers have jumped into the fray, and there are a few really nice devices in the upper mid-range to compete with the Pixel A series. Just off the top of my head, there's the OnePlus 2A on the value side, and that's like $350 as a base price, and it's a really solid device. Performance-wise, it doesn't really compete with the Pixel 8a, but it's, for $350, it is hands down the nicest phone in its price range. And then you have, of course, the OnePlus 12R, which is a really nice phone for $500, the same price as the Pixel 8a. It's probably, not in every way, but overall, a better phone. And there are other phones out there from other manufacturers that kind of compete in this upper mid-range category. With that said, Google's secret weapon is that they release their devices and then like a month and a half later, they drop the price tremendously to boost sales because they want you to use their devices so they can collect your data, because that's their business model. And you can always get a good deal, almost always get a good deal on a Pixel. It's pretty sweet, actually. So if you wait like 2 months, you can probably find the Pixel 8a for $399, maybe even $349 some places. And then it, once again, even at $399, becomes the best deal in the market, hands down. I have no issue recommending that device at $399. I almost have no issue recommending it $500 if the Pixel 8 is not on sale, which it is all the time as well. It's a good phone. Google makes a good product at this point. The only complaint that technophiles have is the Tensor itself, because it's not as performant as the other premium processors in its category. And the AI features that Google promotes, other phones have caught up with them. Like, Google is a services company, so they're more about pushing their services out to every phone in existence than they are about keeping them for themselves. So a lot of those services that you associate with only the Google Pixel does that. Everybody, all the camera editing features the Samsung high-end phones can do now, and even iPhones can do if you pay for Google One as a service. You can do that stuff in the cloud through the Google Photos app. That's not the only thing that draws me to Pixel. There are a bunch of Pixel-specific features that I think are great. The call screening is the best feature of all time, and I don't know if I could live without it on a different phone. Circle to Search is now part of the greater suite of services that Google's pushing out, but it's a cool feature to have. There are lots of things that it does, like the photo editing features. The one big on-device feature, which is Google Magic Eraser, is a solid feature for an on-device feature. It's gotten marginally better over the course of time, but it works for my purposes, which is not actually even photo editing, it's screenshot editing. I kind of love it for that. I use it almost every day. But yeah, Google makes a good product, and you should support their phones, but I want you to be informed, because I'm informed, because I love phones. I love smartphone tech. I'm a smartphone enthusiast, so I'm sharing the fruits of my knowledge with you, because I can. So go out there, buy the best phone for you, but I recommend the Google Pixel 8a with the knowledge of the differences. And I think that's it. That's it for this episode, and I know it's been a long time, long hiatus, but coincidentally, I am recording again this week. I'm recording a second episode this weekend about something that has nothing to do with any of this stuff. Completely different, because, you know, my podcast is just about things that kind of strike my fancy, not about a specific thing. So you may hear me 2 weeks in a row. We'll see. But as always, thanks for listening.